بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, after 2 years of relentless bombardment, after 2 years of suffering, after 2 years of facing starvation, facing death, and facing a genocide, after 2 years of perseverance, resilience and steadfastness, Gaza has emerged victorious. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Despite using the most sophisticated weapons and with the support and backing of the most powerful military, Gaza, which is a 46-kilometer strip of land with a population of 2 million, has emerged victorious. And the victory of Gaza is no less than a miracle from Allah. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. Allah reminds us that how often a small force with a few in number, they defeat a large force with many in number. We call it a victory because the enemies were unable to achieve a single objective of theirs. And failure to achieve your objective is nothing more than defeat. We pay tribute to the shuhada, the martyrs of Gaza. They enjoy a special reception, unlike any other reception in the court of Allah. Those responsible for the genocide are flying from one country to another, boasting about and bragging about the reception they receive and the praises that are heaped upon them. These mean nothing to us. Fir'aun, he also bragged about the power that he had, the influence that he had. But that bragging and that boasting and that manifestation and display of pomp and arrogance led to his own destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reception that the shuhada, the martyrs, received. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Never think of those who are martyred in the cause of Allah as dead. بَلْ أَحْيَا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, they are alive. They are with their Rabb. They are with their Allah. And they are well provided for. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah says, they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing in Allah's bounties. وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. And they are delighted for those who are yet to join them. Allah khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there will be no fear for them, nor will they ever grieve. Yastabshiruna bi ni'matin min Allah wa fadl. Wa anna Allah la yuti'u ajra al-mu'mineen. They are joyful of receiving Allah's grace and receiving Allah's bounty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deny the reward of the believers. This is their reception. What a reception to be received by Allah, to be at the side of Allah, to be taken care of by Allah, to be provided for by Allah. This is a reception that we make dua for, that we receive this type of a reception. And this is a reception that deserves acknowledgement and that deserves praise. It will not be given to them in this dunya, but it does not matter. What matters is the reception that they are given in akhirah, that acknowledgement and recognition that they receive before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that is a genuine one, it is an eternal one, it is one that will earn a person salvation in akhirah. The best people to share the lessons from the 2 years of genocide and post-genocide, the lessons from Gaza with the rest of the world, are not the observers. We were observers. Whatever dua we have made, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that dua to be an argument and an evidence in our favor on the day of Qiyamah. Whatever contribution we made, whatever we may have said against the enemy and in support of the resistance in that part of the world and anywhere else, every word counts, every dua is valuable, every support is much appreciated. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have a share in the victory of the Ummah, whether it is in the land of Sham or anywhere else. May we be part of the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the believers. So the best people to share lessons with us are the survivors of the genocide. We are merely observers. Allow me to share with you the stories, some messages and reflections from some of the survivors. The paramedics of Gaza, they are true heroes who deserve more than acknowledgement and praise. A group of them assembled immediately after the genocide ended. And once the ceasefire was announced, and in one voice they chanted, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. And what did they express on that occasion? Arwahuna min ajlillah. We have surrendered our souls for Allah's sake. Araquna min ajlillah. Our sweat and sacrifice were for the sake of Allah. Amaluna min ajlillah. Our services were offered for Allah's sake. Allahumma rida anna. Oh Allah, you be pleased and happy with us. And then collectively, they offered a sajda of shukr and gratitude to Allah. What does this scene teach us? What do we learn from this scene, from their reaction on this occasion and this moment, wherein they realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with victory and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with success? Number one is dedicate a portion of your time to serve others purely for Allah's sake. Use the science that you have acquired, the expertise that you have, the profession that you are involved in, use it to help others for Allah's sake. Dedicate a portion of that time, dedicate a portion of your life, a portion of your energy towards uplifting others, helping others, a greater cause. And then their sajda of shukr was to attribute that moment of joy to Allah. Attribute your successes, your achievements to Allah. Do not ever claim credit for your accomplishments. If there was anyone who had the right to claim credit for their accomplishments, it would have been these people. But you find every single one of those survivors of this genocide, every one of them attributes that moment of joy and relief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a lesson for us. Whatever achievement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to achieve or to acquire, whether it is of a worldly nature or of a spiritual nature, we attribute it to Allah. We give thanks and we give shukr to Allah. We never take credit for it. We never feel that we deserve acknowledgement for it. But we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for it. And the more you attribute that achievement to Allah, your moment of success, the more you attribute it to Allah, that happiness and the joy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to experience in this world, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ability to achieve. The more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ability to experience happiness and joy, and the more will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you moments of success in your life. But the more you attribute it to yourself, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves it to you. There was a young little girl amongst many of the survivors of the genocide And subhanAllah, brimming with confidence, brimming with iman, she sends this following message from Gaza to the world. Min qalbi Gaza satantahi harbul ibadah. From the heart of Gaza, she sends a message, young girl, perhaps 7, 8, or maybe even 9 years old. The eloquence, the iman, the confidence with which they speak, you realize it is authentic, it is genuine, it is sincere. And it teaches you the beautiful and wonderful tarbiyah, nurturing and training that they receive from their parents. To speak with that iman at such a young age. And our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to cultivate within our children and to instill within them a sense of yaqeen in Allah and iman and faith from a young age. Once Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was seated behind the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his conveyance. And he was around 9 years old, 9 or 10 years old. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted some beautiful words of advice to him, through which Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma could develop a strong sense of yaqeen and iman in Allah. Beautiful advice. It's a lengthy hadith. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a young age, he emphasized that use every opportunity to cultivate a strong sense of iman and yaqeen in your child, so that when the time comes, when that iman is challenged, through whichever way, then there is a strong foundation. They have a strong foundation of iman because you have been instilling within them that strong sense of iman and reliance upon Allah. What does she say? She says, "Min qalbi Gaza satantahi harbul ibadah." From the heart of Gaza, I send the message that the genocide has ended. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, laqad najawtu lil marrati thaniya. She says, I praise Allah, I thank Allah, I have survived for the second time. Najawtu min al-qasfi, wal-mawti, wal-ru'bi, wal-nuzuh. I have survived the bombings. I escaped death and fear. And I survived through the forced displacements. Alhamdulillah. Najawtu li-abqa shahida ala watan yunhad min tahti al-rukam. Beautiful words, eloquence, subhanallah. She says, Alhamdulillah, I survived to remain a witness to a homeland that will rise from beneath the rubble. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil hayat wa ala amalin la yantafi. She says, Alhamdulillah. Notice how many times she says, Alhamdulillah. These are her words, verbatim. She repeats this praise of Alhamdulillah, thanking Allah, praising Allah, acknowledging Allah's bounty upon her and all the other survivors. She says, I thank Allah, Alhamdulillah, for the blessing of life and for hope that will never fade. A young girl, such a powerful lesson, teaching us that we should count our blessings. The takeaway lesson for you and I, and message from her message, is that count your blessings. Rather focus on and pay attention to and appreciate what Allah has left with you, rather than dwelling over the one bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away from you. Focus on what we have and let us not dwell on what we lost. And this is a principle, a teaching that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has repeatedly emphasized. Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that don't ever look at the one who is above you, but always look at the one who is below you. Don't compare what you don't have with what others have. Rather compare what you have with what others don't have. When you remember your loss, think of someone who suffered a greater loss. When you feel you are deprived of a worldly bounty, just pause and think of someone who is deprived of the essentials of life. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Yusuf alayhi salam, after all the suffering that he had endured, and we know his story, he went through much suffering, he was deprived of the love of his father, he was deprived of the love of family, he was deprived of comfort, he was deprived of sleep, He was sent to the dungeons of Egypt. And after all these experiences that he had in life, and his brothers stood before him, he failed to complain when he had all the ability and he had all the opportunity to complain. What did he say to them? قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has been so kind to me. The second point of reflection from her message is the training she received from her parents. She was raised to have a mindset of shukr. Are we rearing a generation of complainers, or are we raising appreciators? Let us ask ourselves this question. Our children today, are we creating within them this mindset of shukr, being appreciative and being grateful for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I create this mindset in my child rather than rearing a complainer? I would love to raise and nurture an appreciator. Number one, you be an appreciator, not a complainer. Your child will learn from you. If you are going to complain over everything and you are going to undermine and trivialize the bounties that you enjoy, your child is learning from you, and you will then raise one who will be a complainer and who will fail to recognize and acknowledge the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, don't always give them the best. At times we must deprive them in order to teach them. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the love that we have for the child that we give them whatever it is that they demand. As a result, they become too soft. And then the prick of a thorn also will give them reason to complain. Number three, share with them the stories of those who are deprived but are content and happy with the little they have. At times, take them to visit people who are deprived of the essentials of life. Let them interact with some children. Let them see how they live, yet they are content and they are happy. This is how we will develop a generation of appreciators rather than complainers. You be an appreciator, number one. Number two, take them and introduce them and expose them to people who have nothing but who are content and happy. And don't always give them what it is that they want. Please give them the best. By always giving them the best in dunya, you will end up depriving them of the best in akhirah. An elderly woman who survived the genocide, she shares a profound message from Gaza to the world. She says, "Alladhi rah ma yarja." Whatever was lost will never return. Ash-shuhada alladhina rahu ma hum raji'in. The shuhada and the martyrs who departed from this world will never come back. They will never return. Rabbuna yu'awwid alayna. What does she say? But our Rabb will compensate us. The message that she sends to us from Gaza to the world, have conviction in the promises of Allah. Allah promised us that when He takes from us, He will compensate us. It's time we develop this level of conviction in the promises of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made promise upon promise in the Quran. Have we developed conviction in the promises of Allah? Developing conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will naturally cause us to live a life that is pleasing to Allah. Allah promises in the Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Allah addresses and He says, as for those who are in awe, those who fear standing before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and as a result, they deprive themselves and they restrain themselves from evil desires, what is the promise? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, paradise will certainly be their home. Deprive yourself of what the nafs wants. Allah says, restrain the nafs.
Don't give the nafs whatever it is or whatever it desires. Deprive the nafs. Naha nafs. What's the promise of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in return, Allah will give you Jannah. Elsewhere Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, and he or she is a believer, what's the promise in return? فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will surely bless them with a good life. Do good, Allah will bless you with a good life. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for goodness except goodness? You do ihsan to others. You be kind towards others. You assist others, uplift others, help others. And in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exercise ihsan upon you. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah says, instruct your family. Encourage your family. Command your family to offer salah. Be diligent and punctual upon observing salah. What is the promise? If you will do so, you will never disregard your salah. You will ensure that you are rearing and you are raising children and a family who understand the importance of salah and who will never forgo their salah. Allah says, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. In return, we will take care of your provision. These are the promises of Allah. It's time we develop yaqeen in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah promises you, if you will give up riba, if you will desist and you will stop engaging in interest-bearing transactions, Allah will grant you barakah in your life. And what else does Allah promise? فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. These are the words of Allah. Allah promises that if you will not give up interest, you will not give up riba, you will not give up usury, then prepare for a war against Allah. In the commentary of this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, describing the war between you and Allah, if you don't desist from riba, he says that يُقَالُ لِآكِلِ الرِّبَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُذْ سِلَاحَكَ. On the day of Qiyamah, it will be said to the consumer of riba, take your arms, arm yourself, today you fight against Allah. Allah promises, you give it up, and in return Allah will grant you barakah. These are the promises of Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith Qudsi, these are the words of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yabna Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك. O my slave, if you have committed sins, this is a promise of Allah, if you have committed so many sins that fill up the space between the earth and the sky, and you come to me and genuinely you seek my forgiveness, I will forgive you. So the message from this woman, we have lost our homes, we have lost family members, we have lost everything, we have lost martyrs, none of them will come back, but we have yaqeen, there's confidence in the promise of Allah, Allah will compensate us. Allah will give it back to us. So this is the third lesson that we learn. The first, dedicating some of your time, your energy, your skill, your profession, your expertise purely to help others for the sake of Allah. That is what we have learned. Messages from Gaza to the world. Number two, attribute your success, your achievement, your happiness to Allah. Number three, let us rear children. Let us raise children who are appreciators and not complainers. Number four, let us develop conviction in the promises of Allah. Allah has promised us many things in the Quran. Let us develop conviction in those promises. There was an elderly man, and he sends a message, a survivor of the genocide. He says, سَنَبْقَى هُنَا فِي أَرْضِنَا غَزَّ مُرَابِطِينَ. We will remain here in our land of Gaza, defending our land with steadfastness. وَيَعْلَمَ الْآلَمْ كُلُّهُ أَنَّ غَزَّ هِيَ خَطُّ الدِّفَاعَ الْأَوَّلِ لِإِسْقَاطِ حُلْمِ نَتَنْيَاهُ. The entire world knows that Gaza was the first line of defense that denied Netanyahu the opportunity to fulfill his dream. كَانَ حُلْمُ إِسْرَائِيمَ لَوْ غَزَّ رَاحَتْ. It was their dream to remove Gaza and see it vanish. إِنَّ غَزَّةَ الْيَوْمْ لَمْ تَسْتَسْلِمْ. But Gaza refused to surrender. There's a book written by a historian from Gaza a few centuries ago, Tariq Gaza, the history of Gaza. His name is Arif al-Arif. He speaks about the meaning of Gaza. The word Gaza, its meaning, what does it actually mean? He says, إِنَّ مَعْنَا إِسْمِ غَزَّةَ هُوَ الْعِزَّةَ وَالْمَنْعَةَ وَالْقُوَّةَ. You know what Gaza means? Gaza means to defend. Gaza means strength. Gaza means resilience. And subhanAllah, Gaza has lived up to its name. This elderly man, he says, رَغْمَ مَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدِّمَارِ لَمْ تَسْتَسْلِمْ. Despite the extensive destruction, Gaza did not surrender. لَكِنَّهَا صَابِرَةَ وَصَامِدَةَ. Gaza was patient. Gaza showed resilience in the face of brutality. وَمَدْرَسَةَ. And this is the message. He says, Gaza is a madrasa. Gaza was a school that taught the entire world lessons. Gaza madrasatun lirrujula. Gaza is a school that produced lessons on how to be a real man. A real man is not afraid. He is prepared to sacrifice. He is willing to struggle for Allah's sake. He has the courage to give up what holds him back from reaching Allah. Ask yourself, what is it that's holding me back from reaching Allah? What's that habit? What's that addiction? What is that crime? What is that vice? What is it that's holding me back from reaching Allah? A real man has the courage to give it up, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gaza taught us that. They gave it up, all of it, for a greater purpose. We cannot talk without speaking of one of the shuhada, one of the martyrs, Salih al-Ja'farawi, rahimahullah. Salih al-Ja'farawi, rahimahullah, he was killed after the ceasefire was announced. Subhanallah. He was killed by gangs in Gaza linked to Israel. A journalist and a hafiz of the Quran. Subhanallah, beautiful reciting. He loved reading the Quran. He was a cheerful young man. His peers say about him that on the day of Eid, he was such a loving individual. On the day of Eid, you'll find him in the front of the masjid distributing sweets to the children and bringing smiles and joys to their faces. So he was killed a day after the war ended by these Israeli-linked gangs. And he covered the genocide from the beginning to the end, with all its horrible details. He was not afraid, subhanAllah. He went right into the areas of battle. And he shared the details of the genocide and the brutality and the crimes that were committed with the world. Millions of people around the world followed him and followed his reports from Gaza. He was offered a free passage to exit Gaza by the Israelis because they understood that he is winning them in terms of the psychological war. Previously we spoke about the importance of the psychological war. Nevertheless, he was martyred and he became shaheed, rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And really, what amazes you is the reaction of his father. So his brother, his older brother Naji, who was an imam in Gaza, he was taken, or he was kidnapped and abducted by the Israelis, and he was released after the war. So Salih rahimahullah is killed, and the next day his brother is released in the prison exchange deal. And his father, subhanallah, when he speaks about his son and his reaction, something that we can learn from Amir al-Ja'farawi, he says, Alhamdulillah, أَخَذَ مِنِّي وَاحِدًا وَأَعْطَانِ كَثِيرًا. Alhamdulillah, Allah took away one and He gave me much in return. وَنَحْسِبُ أَنَّهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ يُرْزَقُ. He says, we have hope that He is with Allah and He is provided for and He is taken care of by Allah. وَدَّعْنَا بِالْأَمْسْ شَهِيدًا وَاسْتَقْبَلْنَا الْيَوْمَ أَسِيرًا. Yesterday we bid farewell to my one son as a shaheed, and today I receive my other son as a captive returned to me. Allah took away one, but He replaced him with another one. He's brought my one son back to me. Salih was 27 years old. He was 27 years old and he chose to remain there. And his message or his life was a life of purpose. And this is a message to the youth. Live a life with purpose. There's more to life than life itself. There's more to life than living. Live a life with purpose. Have meaning to your life. Have an objective. Have a purpose and a goal. Be a contributor. How can I contribute towards the ummah the way this young man did? And your life with purpose starts with the Quran. The way he started his life with purpose, with the Quran, a hafiz of the Quran. And when I say with the Quran, beyond the recitation, which is a great act, beyond the memorization, which is an even greater act, is take inspiration from the Quran, learn the message of the Quran, understand the Quran. The Quran will shape a life of purpose for you. And have a role model. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam produced great role models for the youth. So this is a message for the youth, the message of Salih al-Ja'farawi rahimahullah, that O youth of this ummah, live a life with purpose. There's more to life than just fun and games. There's more to life than just good food and good cars and good homes and good clothing. Live a life with purpose, be a contributor. And tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you amongst those from amongst the Sahaba and this Ummah who contributed towards the upliftment of injustice from this world. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.